machine who's bounding clear up the hill, and he is a machine. Fahid maintains his unbeaten record, and it's a treble for Willie Mullins and Remy Walsh. Fahid's a champion. Arctic Forest.
It was never in any doubt that it's going to be a magnificent hat-trick in the race for the Willie Mullins trade for Vega, and a treble on the day for Ruby. He didn't have to move a muscle.
Hello and welcome along to week four of our Cheltenham Countdown series. My name is Tom Nugent and I am joined by Ruby Walsh and Frank Hickey as we take another long-range look at the Cheltenham Festival. Last week it was all about the seasoned chasers, but this week we'll be getting the exclusive thoughts of the lads on two of the major hurdle contests at this year's festival, the Paddy Power Stayers Hurdle and the Triumph. Two races, coincidentally, that no horse has managed to complete the double. Although, Ruby, you came pretty close, didn't you?
Well, the horse I rode came pretty close, Tom. I didn't ride him on the second occasion. Daryl Jacob did, but that was Celestial Halo, won the Triumph. And obviously, he was second in the Stairs Hurdle behind Solwith, I think. But Daryl rode him on that occasion. I wasn't riding Celestial Halo anyway. But yeah, look, it is a tough double to bring up, but I'd say 5-year-olds with a poor record in the two, so you'd be looking at Triumph horses maybe in their second season, and a lot of them would tend to have gone chasing, or I don't know why. Not that many horses have obviously tried it either.
Ruby, the Stayers Hurdle for a long time was a race that Irish horses maybe didn't have the best record in until Galmoy came along in the 80s to get us out of jail, for want of a better phrase.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to imagine when you look at it in this day and age that he was the only Irish winner when he won the Stayers Hurdle on one occasion. So, yeah, he was a really tough horse. Obviously, there's a race named after him in Goran Park now. It is a hard race, though, Tom. 3 miles over hurdles. There's so many fewer hurdles than there is fences on a race course that it really does require an awful lot of stamina to win it. And some brilliant horses have. Barracuda, Big Bucks, Iris's Gift. I remember him winning with Barry Garrett. He was an incredible horse. But some really good horses have won this race. And look, even last year we had a bit of a shock in it when
Liz Nagar Oscar.
Chin Paisley Park. And Paisley Park is back this year to take on Tyne Hill and a few of the Irish ones.
And Frank, we've seen some excellent winners of the Triumph, but some of them can kind of maybe fall in a hole after their juvenile season. But some of the big names that stood out to you, I suppose, R. Connor visually was an incredible performance in the Triumph, wasn't he?
Oh, amazing. Like you could argue how good were the horses behind. Like they were, like Smash Gal, I think, was it Far West for second and third? They're solid yards, like 140 horses, and he's absolutely trounced them. It was amazing. It's just a shame that he got injured the following year running in the Champion Hurdle, because I think, he would have been a superstar, wouldn't he? But like, he's the one that sticks out in your mind until, gosh, and obviously last year was going to do something similar when he tipped up at the last.
Lovely stuff. Right, let's take a look at the Paddy Power Stayers Hurdle non-runner money back betting with Paddy Power. Paisley Park is the 3-1 favourite, 7-2 Time Hill. Benny Dedieu is 7-1 alongside Roxana. Sire de Burley is 8s. Champ is 10-1. 12s Fury Road and McFabulous, as well as Kemboy and Paul Saga, 14-1. The Storyteller, Ronald Pump and Flooring Porter, 16-1. And bigger the rest. Ruby, this is a race that can be farmed by really high quality staying hurdlers, because often those horses that show a lot of stamina over hurdles go chasing nearly straight away. And you farmed this race with a horse called Big Bucks for a long time. Is that the case in this division? Generally, horses can kind of just dominate for quite a significant period of time.
I think that maybe they do, Tom. I mean, Big Bucks was, he was just a bit different, though. He won four world hurdles, and there's been lots of one-off winners. I mean, Nicholas Canyon won one, Paisley Park won one, although he's coming back to try and win a second. Lisnagar Oscar's only won the one. It can go both ways. There's plenty of horses. English Driver, obviously, was a prolific winner of it. So was Big Bucks. But I think once horses prove that they have that laden stamina, they can come back for these kind of races. But there's a really good program for staying hurdlers, especially in the UK. I mean, and Paisley Park and Time Hill have gone that road this year. You start in Newbury, you have the long walk then in Ascot, the Cleve hurdle, the Paddy Power Stairs hurdle, and the 3 mile hurdle in Aintree. There's five races for them, two grade twos and three grade ones, and on they go. It's a pretty straightforward program, but it's a tough race. Horses need to be really resilient and have plenty of ability to keep coming back and win them.
What, in your opinion, was Big Bucks' best performance at Cheltenham?
Probably his first. His first was probably the strongest race. When he beat Punchestown and Casbah Bliss, that was probably the strongest renewal that he won. He beat Voller Le Vedette another year. He beat Time for Rupert. That was probably the shallowest race. He beat Grand Cru. He was a really good horse, but his first one was probably the best race he ran in. Frank would have more of the figures, but I'd have said his first one was probably the best race anyway.
Frank, before we get stuck into the form and the figures of previous runnings and the running we're looking ahead to, what is the book like at the moment? We're kind of shaping up to be another clash between Paisley Park and Time Hill. It's kind of been a great season with the two of them, with a couple of a win each against each other. Why would you kind of see the book shaping up? Where are the big liabilities? Is this an ideal book for a bookmaker in terms of you have a couple of competitors and another one maybe comes and picks up the pieces?
Well, like, if you're looking at the Antipost book, we've actually got a number of significant losers, which will tell you how competitive the race looks. Paisley Park, Ronald Pump, Lisnagar Oscar, Tyne Hill and Sarah de Burley, they're all chunky enough liability, which is probably not brilliant on our part. But then when you look at the non-runner money back book, it's just Paisley Park and, to a lesser extent, Florian Porter are our only real losers there. So yeah, obviously on the day we'll probably want to be getting Paisley Park beaten. But the only thing about it is, like, the Antipost books, while at Cheltenham they're very, very lively, they still would only be a small percentage of what you'd be holding on the day, you know?
Ruby, those pair ups are great. Those, when you have two horses kind of battling it out over a season or a couple of seasons, they write storylines, they get people interested, they kind of bring the sport to life, maybe for those who aren't already avid fans.
Yeah, there has to be clashes in every sport, Tom. That's the same, be it soccer, football, rugby, athletics, whatever it is. You need clashes and you need big names. And the Stairs Hurdle Division is lucky that it has big names there at the minute. You have Paisley Park. Time Hill was a good novice last year. They were first and second in Newbury. The roles are reversed in Ascot. I know the Time Hill team will think they can turn it back around. The Paisley Park team thought that after Newbury, and they were right. So, all is set fair for them to go at each other at Cheltenham. Look, obviously, the Cleve Hurdle was cancelled in Cheltenham, was scheduled for Newbury, but Paisley Park wasn't going there anyway. Newbury was called off as it was, or not Newbury, Wetherby was called off as it was, but it will be a really good race. And I think it's easy enough to see why people would be split. Now, Frank is saying most people only want to back Paisley Park, but I'm probably a Time Hill fan.
Would you be concerned about Paisley Park after his issue in the race last year, or is he over that now and just he should be fine?
I'd be kind of thinking it was a once off. He never did it before, and he's had two runs since and it hasn't happened. So you'd be kind of thinking it was a once off. You can never be certain, but I wouldn't be factoring it into my mind. I'm sure it's in the back of Emma Lavelle's and Barry Fenton's. I'm sure in the back of their mind, they'll always be concerned about it. But for me, looking in from the outside, no, it wouldn't be crossing my mind.
Irish horses, Ruby, Sire de Burley, Fury Road, Flooring Porter, Ronald Pump. Anything that could give the two protagonists a bit of a fright?
Well, Ronald Plump ran a cracker last year, and he ran well in the Hatton's Grace in Fairy House in December. Now, we haven't seen him since, for whatever reason. Sire de Burley, I think he was a little disappointing in Leopardstown at Christmas, but I thought he was really good in the Liz Mullen, and the time experts will tell you his per temps performance last year was really, really rock solid. And I think when you look at the horse he beat, the Storyteller, and what he's done over fences this year, he's winning Down Royal. He was second to Flooring Porter in Leopardstown at Christmas. He's second yesterday in the Paddy Power Irish Gold Cup. The Storyteller is a really solid horse. So that probably gives Sire de Burley, puts a better slant on his form. I honestly couldn't see Benny the Jew running here. She didn't run the race last year after winning the Galmoy. I couldn't see her running here first time up. So I wouldn't be factoring her in. Roxana was placed behind the geldings in Ascot. She was third. She won well in her last start, but I just don't see why she turns the form with them. So, and then you have Flooring Porter being the other Irish horse. He's not a straightforward horse to ride. He does jump to his left. Leopardstown suited him with a running rail all the way around the inside of the track. In Cheltenham, on that new track, in both tracks over hurdles in Cheltenham, there's no running rail on the inside. They're island hurdles. The running rail on the old course is on your outside, and on the new course, the only running rail you pick up is on your outside from the back of the last, so which is on his right-hand side, which won't be suiting Florin Porter. I'm not certain he'd be the easiest ride around Cheltenham.
Very, very interesting. Frank, Roxana has the two options, as Ruby mentioned, and it's unlikely maybe that she does turn that form around. Do you think she could show up here?
I think there's every chance you show up in the stairs hurdle. Like, if you look at it, she's probably improved for stepping up to 3 miles. Yeah, she was beaten, what, 2 lengths only by the other two at Ascot, but she was very impressive against the mares back there the last time. She was, what, just touched off with a grade one at Liverpool behind if the cap fits. She lapped the straight behind. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just not sure. Has she maybe, like, the pace to beat someone like Benny or Concertista back at the mares hurdle trip? I'd say she might just be more suited to this, even though, as Ruby's already said, it's a little difficult to see her reversing with both of them in this race, but she hasn't that much ground to make up at the same time. She's definitely worth her place in the lineup.
And Champ is in the market, Frank, but he I think he's entered the Denman Chase this weekend, isn't he, at Newbury, so it's unlikely he'll go.
He's entering the Denman Chase, but I suppose what you'd be thinking is the weather forecast for this week is pretty appalling, so there must be a good chance of Newbury not making it. And then what are his options? Like, the Denman Chase might be rescheduled, but, like, were he to tip up at the first or the second, he could very well end up here. Like, you know, they're running out of options, and if they don't get a run over fences or a decent run in over fences into him, are they going to really fire him straight into a Gold Cup? I don't know. They might have a look at this and think they have a chance. Like, if you go back to his hurdles form, he won a grade one at Aintree over 3 miles, the Sefton Novices Hurdle. And he lost Lissagar Oscar back in third that day. I suppose they might be looking at going, Lissagar Oscar went on and won a Stairs Hurdle. So if we did need to drop back over hurdles, he has the ability to be very competitive. And yeah, he'd really shake up the market if he was to end up in this race.
He was second to City Island in the Ballymore, but if you're thinking, why would somebody come straight to the Stairs Hurdle and not go straight to the Gold Cup? I can't think of a horse that has won a Gold Cup having not had a run in the season, whereas you only have to go back 3 years to Penn Hill, where a horse has won the Stairs Hurdle, making in their seasonal debut. So I can see merit in what Frank is saying, and at non-runner, no bet, at 20-1, you're betting on this week's weather. What happens, and then what happens with the Denman? I'd say that's a valid point and a pretty good option for anybody with a non-runner no bet.
Like, looking at our price, we're actually 10-1 non-runner money back, and he's as big as 20 with the firms that aren't paying it. But, like, even 10-1, he wouldn't be 10-1 if he lined up here.
Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong price on my app here. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. Just to correct people in case they're wondering what the 20-1 is. But even 10-1, potentially could be quite big. Like, if you're thinking, what price would it be in a Gold Cup? It's hard to see him even being 10-1 in a Gold Cup if he went in there in a little bit of form. And you'd imagine a Stairs Hurdle would be easier to win than the Gold Cup. So, yeah, like, I wouldn't put anyone off taking a chance at 10-1 non-runner money back, because if he lines up here, he'll be shorter and he'd have a right chance. And if he doesn't, get your money back.
Ruby, what about Willie Mullins runners likely to go here? Great White Shark, maybe Bacchus on Bacardi's?
I can't see Benny going there, to tell you the truth. Great White Shark was too disappointing in Goran Park and would have a lot to improve figures wise. Backison ran in the race last year, I think. Did he? No, he ran the Coral Cup.
Or he ran in this. The Coral Cup, didn't he?
He was sixth in the Coral Cup, yeah. He fell in the Gold Cup at Cheltenham. And the year before that, I have in my head he ran in this, and he fell in the Gold Cup. And what did he unseat a rider in? He unseat a rider in the Albert Bartlett, and he's three runs in Cheltenham. Backison, maybe. It'd be a long shot, Tom. I actually don't really see a Willie Mullins horse here. Ken Boy was obviously given the entry for fear his jumping didn't hold up in the Paddy Power Irish Gold Cup. But after winning that, could I really see Willie Mullins going back to the stairs hurdle with him? It's unlikely. I mean, he would look a great backup to Album Photo in the Gold Cup, wouldn't he?
Willie was keen to mention it on television when he was interviewed on Sunday evening after Ken Boy won the Paddy Power Irish Gold Cup, which I thought was interesting. Maybe he just he brought up the fact that he hasn't jumped that well around Cheltenham in the past over fences as one of the main reasons why he got the
entry. He hasn't, and it'll be an interesting conversation that'll be had. But look, he has an entry, he's in the race, so he has the option. But I honestly haven't discussed it with him, so I don't know what he's thinking. But as you said, he did say in an interview after racing on Sunday that he has the entry. He's been worried about him jumping in Cheltenham in the past. But I think when you looked at him yesterday in Leopardstown, I think his last two runs in Leopardstown have been the best he's jumped in quite a while.
Would the only thing I would think looking at it as well would be, like, is he a really dour stair? And obviously the Gold Cup is 3.25 miles while the stairs is only 3 miles. Would that be another positive for him?
I actually think he is a dour stare, Frank. I think he's a horse that we got wrong for a considerable amount of time. We were always trying to settle him and switch him off. But when you looked at his form, arguably his best run is beating Album Photo in Punchestown, where he was taken on all the way by Definitely Red. And then he had enough left to go and quicken and outstay Album Photo from the second last. So when we thought about it in-depthly, we actually thought we weren't making enough use of him, that we were trying to settle him to see if we could harness some energy and use it at the end of the race, when actually he was just best let go.
Righto, time for a decision. Frank Hickey, who wins the Paddy Power Stairs Hurdle?
I think Tyne Hill is your most likely winner. Obviously beat Paisley Park and Newbury, getting a little bit of weight. Paisley Park reversed, I think. I still think he was the best horse in the race, personally. I think a bit of better ground will really suit him. And I think he'll go off favourite on the day, as long as Champ doesn't run. I think Champ could be a right fly in the ointment. But, and the reason I say that is, the Albert Bartlett form couldn't be working out any better. And on the Wednesday this year, it's very likely Monkfish is going to absolutely bolt up in the Festival Novices Chase, and that'll be in the back of everyone's head when they're looking at the Stairs Hurdle. Like, Tyne Hill was unlucky in the Albert Bartlett last year when fourth behind Monkfish. He got badly hampered and had to switch, and he would have gone very close with a clear run. And just when you're factoring that in, I think he might end up going off favourite. If I was looking at something at a price, the two that would interest me would be Sam's Profile and Ronald Pump. Ronald Pump was chasing last year as well, and kind of mix it with hurdles. This year it's been just hurdles only. I thought he ran a cracker behind Honeysuckle in the Hatton's Grace. He hasn't been seen since. I assume he's just going to prep in the Boyne Hurdle. And Irish horses that have run well in the Stairs have traditionally prepped in that race, so that might be a positive for him. And the other one, Sam's Profile, very good novice a couple of years back, was fifth in the Ballymore behind City Island and Champ, and was second beaten half length by Reserve Tank in the Grade One over 2.5 miles of Punchestown. Missed all last year, had a couple of starts over fences, was third behind Monkfish and a second start. Very credible effort. And won the Gatmoy the last time. Mouse is having a great season. His horses are in great form. He'd have the ability, I think, to hit the frame. But yeah, for me, Tyne Hill would be the horse I think is the most likely winner.
Ruby?
I agree with Frank. I think Tyne Hill is the most likely winner. I've been a fan of his. I fancied him in the Albert Bartlett last year. I think he'll get his revenge this year in the Paddy Power Stairs hurdle. But look, after having this chat, I couldn't stop anybody back in champ no bet and having something small each way on Kenboy for fear he turns up here. But that'd be the interesting one.
Righto, that is the stairs hurdle, the Paddy Power stairs hurdle, done and dusted. Onwards we go.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Friday, the first race at the Cheltenham Festival on Friday is traditionally the Triumph Hurdle, and the non-runner money back betting with Paddy Power is Zanahir 5-2, French Asile 5-1, Quilixios also 5s, Adagio 8s, Duffelcoat 10-1, Tritonic 12s, Nassalam 14s, Tiupu is 14s, and it's 16-1 and bigger the rest. Ruby, what is your take on the Triumph Hurdle generally? I've heard Davey Russell give out about it at Cheltenham Preview Night, saying it's a good time to go to the bar. A lot of people write it off, the juvenile division, not interested. What do you think?
I'd say he was fairly happy the Triumph Hurdle was on the year he won it off Clark and myself now, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he'd prefer to have been in the bar as well. But no, I think in yesteryear, that was a comment that could be made about the Triumph Hurdle when there was 30 runners and it was a lottery. But when the festival was made 4 days and the Fred Winter was introduced to the festival, which is a number of years ago now, so I'm surprised people haven't realised that this has now become a genuine Grade 1 contest where form actually counts.
There you have it. And Frank, what do you think this year now? Ever since Zanahir won at Fairy House, it's been pretty one-sided in terms of the book and betting, and we had a good angle into it yesterday with Quilixios, or on Sunday with Quilixios winning at the Spring Juvenile Hurdle at Leopardstown at the Dublin Racing Festival. So Gordon Elliott probably has a pretty good idea of where he stacks up in the picture on both sides of the IRC, having sent Duffelcoat over a couple of times as well. What did you think of the book and how is it looking? Is it a banker material, Zanahir?
I wouldn't say it's a banker, but he's a big loser in our Antipost book, and the other big loser is French Asile. And when French Asile won, as being heard in Leopardstown, I think he was quoted 25-1 for the Triumph Hurdle directly after that, and didn't last too long. I think he was into 10 by the end of that evening, and I think he's 5 or 6-1 now. So yeah, we took a fair hit on him. And like Zanahir was 33-25 prior to his win at Fair House over St. Sam, was straight into 8. But when the people looked at the times, that 8 didn't last too long and he was backed into 5-1. Obviously, he's followed up at Leopardstown since, and that's why he's into 5-2. In our non-runner money back book, though, the one big loser is Tritonic. We had a lot of people backing that non-runner money back at 25-20 prior to his hurdles debut at Ascot. I suppose the thinking was, if he wins, you know, he'll be 10-12-1 shot, and if he gets beaten, he won't be running in the Triumph. So I think people were looking at that as a bit of a risk-free bet, and they're sitting on a fair bet now, I suppose, at 12-1. But he's the big loser in the non-runner money back book.
Ruby, Willie doesn't have a great record in the Triumph. It fell into his lap last year, but apart from that, I don't think he'd won it before. And
he had. I picked the wrong one year. Charlie Swan won it on Saturday.
Very good, very good.
I remember. You always remember the ones you didn't write.
But come here and tell us, is that a kind of part of the game that he doesn't pursue as rigorously? Would that be an area that some trainers maybe avoid, those juvenile hurdlers, because you have to pick them up on the flat or keep an eye out on horses in France, and maybe it's just harder to find them?
Yeah, I'd say we probably kept some horses that might have been supreme horses. We would have kept them, or not supreme, would have kept them that would have been Triumph horses. We might have kept the maidens and had them the following year for the supreme or the mare's novice or races like that. I rode Let's Dance in it. She went through that season as a maiden behind Ivanovich Gorbatov, and she came back the following year and won the Mayor's Novice Hurdle. So, when horses lose their novice status as 4-year-olds, it does leave you at a bit of a crossroads the following year when they're 4 racing 5, which can be a very difficult year for horses. So if you don't win the Triumph or win one of the other grade ones, the Spring Juvenile Hurdle, the one at Ainshire, or the one at Punchestown, you're limited as to what you can do the following year. So, yeah, sometimes it can be a tactical decision to keep horses, let them mature from 3 into 4 and then run them when they're 4 into 5 rather as novices rather than 3 into 4 as novices. So, yeah, Willie would have done that in the past, but he has a few this year. Obviously, he bought French Seal after he won in Leopardstown after a very impressive performance when he beat Dermot Wells' horse that won since Coulter by 22 lengths. It was visually impressive to the eye. He's in Close Sutton. He was entered in the Spring Juvenile Hurdle at the weekend, but Willie decided against running him at the last minute. He's fit and he's well, but it'll be interesting to see if he takes the change of yard. And when you go to the track, if he has still fresh enough and mature enough to do it. I mean, I know a lot of people say Willie Mullins improves horses that come out of other yards, but he tends to put those horses in a field and allow them to freshen up and then goes to the track with them. Brings them back to scratch and starts with a pre-season and builds them back into being race horses rather than taking a very fit horse and just tipping along with it. It can be a difficult one to do. So it'll be interesting to see how French Seal gets on. He also has, what did we run yesterday? He's another horse entered, probably as short as in the betting, is a horse called
Humidor and Saint Sam.
Yeah, Humidor was disappointing yesterday. He ran way below form. Even not allowing him to be as good maybe as Quilixius, I still think he faded too far from home and maybe was showing the effects of his race in Ferry House. St. Sam went a really good gallop, jumped really well, missed the second last, but I thought he was going to fold and fade completely going to the last hurdle, yet he ran on to keep going behind Quilixius. There's no doubt Gordon holds the aces. I'm a huge Anahir fan. I thought his performance in Ferry House in December was outstanding. I thought he had to do it in a very different race then in Leopardstown when he won a sprint. I think he's the best horse, and I would be, if was still riding and Gordon Elliott offered me the ride and one of the two of his, he'd be the one I would have picked. Willie does have a few more though. He's a horse called Hawthorne Kildare, who won in Autoy back in October. Who's a fine, big, good looking horse. If he does go there, it would be his first run for Willie. And we have another one or two in it. I just flicked them up here. Hawthorne Kildare and St. Sam we talked about.
Tax for Max.
Or State Man as well. State Man would possibly be the kind of horse that Willie would keep until next season. He's a maiden of a hurdle, so I could see Willie not running him as a juvenile and keeping him to be a novice next year. And Tax for Max is a colt. Where did he come from?
He ran a grade one in Germany on his last start, finished fifth. Hit the likes of Antonio de Vega, Manuel de Vega, Mirando behind. I was kind of guessing if he had a flat rating, he'd be in around 110, which is a monster number. If he got a run in before Cheltenham, if he was working well, he was one that was a little bit. He has the ability for the flat, and obviously Hanlon's testing ground if he's running in Germany.
Yeah, he's in training and has a lot of jumping done. But he is a dead maiden, and I'd imagine if he was to run, it'll be in a graded race. I couldn't see Willie breaking his maiden status right now.
Well, is there the race Burning Victory won last year?
Yeah, that's coming up in Ferry House. Wouldn't be surprised if he used something like that or went straight to the Triumph with him. But the likes of State Man and Tax for Max, I just couldn't see Willie running them in maiden hurdles at this time of year and not having. If they went and won a Triumph, so be it. But I couldn't see him winning maidens with them now and not having them as novices next year.
Frank, Gordon Elliott's record in the race in a short space of time is absolutely incredible. And he, as Ruby says, he holds all the aces here and even might hold a couple of the kings and queens as well. But with his other runners, Quilixios, he looked very impressive at the Dublin Racing Festival. And Tiupo, Duffelcoat and Riviere d'Etel all represent decent standards of form themselves if they all show up. What did you make of it? Is it just as simple as the answer is Anahir?
I don't believe it is. He's been very good, but Quilixios was very good on Sunday at Leopardstown, and the time compared favourably to Appreciate It, who won the Grade 1 Novice. He was slightly faster, Quilixios, and he was carrying 10 pounds less, but you'd expect that being a juvenile. So the time stacked up, and he is more of a stare than Zanahir looking at him, you know. But I don't think it's straightforward as Zanahir is a certainty or anything. He's been very good. He's been very impressive. He deserves to be favoured. But you're still talking about Kalixios, who's won. He won three on the bounce now for Gordon, you know, including a grade one. And then you throw in Duffelcoat, who's 4 from 4. He's a real out-and-out stare. I think he wants 2.5 miles already. The race he won at Cheltenham, they just went way too hard in front and stopped. And he was getting outpaced, you know, I think 4 hurdles from home. He looked in trouble. And just he kept going and kept going. He's one that you could see ending up running in a stairs hurdler or pretense, you know, next year or the year after. And then Tahipu, there was a bit of buzz around him on his hurdles debut for Gordon at Fairy House when Umdor fell. It looked like Umdor was going to win, but the only thing I would say is Tahipu did find plenty after the last and put a fair bit of ground between him and the eventual second. But yeah, between the two, I think Zanahir is probably better than Kalixios, but I wouldn't think there's that much between them at the same time. I think the difference in price probably represents, you know, where they're at. Like, it's not a huge difference in price either. I think one's about, what'd you say, 5-2 and 5-1 or 5-2 and 11-2. Yeah, like, it's difficult to know. And the thing with these juveniles as well, like, it's just the rate at which they're improving and progressing. Like, one could be better in November, December, but by the time you get round to March, which one's improving quicker? Like, it could be different come then.
Frank, talk us through some of the English challengers. Adagio, Tritonic, who you mentioned, Nassalam, anything in the Nicky Henderson yard? He's got an incredible record in the race. Anything standing out for you on the other side of the pond?
Well, I'd say Nicky has nothing this year, looking at it. Hero de Saul was very lucky to win a Kempton. Jane Williams had a horse that fell at the last there. That was going to win. There was a bit of hype about Paros, was it? Or Paro? He was beating a Sandown. He was very disappointing. So it doesn't look like he has anything. Adagio, he was beaten by Duffelcoat in that race at Cheltenham I mentioned already. They went too hard. I thought he shaped like the best horse in the race myself that day. And he followed up winning. He's ended up winning the grade one finale hurdle at Chepstow. He's a good horse. He's versatile enough with regards to ground. He's improving. I'm just not sure, is he as good as the Irish? I just don't think he is. Nassalam kind of falls in the same bracket. He was 2 lengths behind Adagio on that finale hurdle. Very good horse. Can see him improving. Wouldn't be shocked if he reversed with Adagio, but I'm just not sure they're as good as the Irish. I think the best of the English will end up being Tritonic. This horse, very, very useful on the flat, was rated 99, was second to Highland Chief in a 10 furlong handicap at Royal Ascot, was second at listed level up at Hamilton behind Subjectivist, who went on to win a grade one in France afterwards. I really liked his hurdles debut. I thought his jumping was really good, bar mistake in the last, we kind of reached for it. I thought he had a great attitude to run down Casalupi as well. That horse had gone out in front, looked kind of got a bit of an easy lead, but I really liked it. They were 18 lengths clear of the third. The time figure was decent for a hurdles debut. And that looked a decent race going into it. Vulcan was rated 87. Punctuation was rated 83. And Stepney Causeway was rated 85 in the flat. So, you know, on flat ability, it was deep. And that race at Ascot has been a decent pointer to Cheltenham as well. Goshen won it last year. He would have won the Triumph. You've top notch won it. He was a neck second in a Triumph. Baller Succeed fell in a Triumph. He won it as well. He was only 15-2 in the Triumph when he fell. And Grandway won this and was third in a Triumph. But it's a really good pointer. And Alan King, of course, has a fairly decent record with juveniles, albeit you have to go back a little bit. He won it with Catch It and Penzance. And he also had Walk On and Franchuk finish second and Grometti finished third. Tritonic to me looks a real stare. I think the stiff uphill finish will suit him, and I just think he's going to end up the best of the British runners by a fair bit. Where that compares with the Irish, I don't know, but to me, he's very interesting.
Right. Oh, okay. I think it's almost time for decision time. Ruby, a quick word. Paul Nicholls, anything standing out to you? I know he had a runner in the Open Musselburgh in the Triumph Hurdle Trial. That was very disappointing. Wise Glory. Hell Red is the other horse that he has.
Yeah, he won. His first start, I think, for Paul, was it in Chepstow, and then pulled up behind Duffelcoat in Cheltenham. So, yeah, he'd have to come back to his very best. But, and look, I we're only going on form like anybody else. I mean, why did he pull up? Was that run too bad to be true? who really knows? He's another one entered, a horse called John Locke in the colours of Sullivan Bloodstock, 86 rated horse in the flat, hasn't ran over hurdles yet. And Paul obviously did introduce Sarkandar at the Adonis first time up to win in the same colours and go and win the Triumph. Maybe he might be worth keeping an eye on, but I haven't heard of it. I thought Nassalam might turn the form back around with Adagio the next time they met. But the only other thing is to note of interest is that Quilixius isn't a novice. Quilixius won a hurdle race in France last March, on the 2nd of March 2020. So he's not a novice and can only run in the Triumph hurdle. Whereas Zana here does hold entries and can run at the other novice hurdles at the festival. Were Gordon Elliott confident enough to split them up?
Righto, let's nail the colours to the mast then. Frank Hickey, what did you like? Is it Zana here or is it something else? Anything at a bit of an each way price to hit the frame? What do you think?
Yeah, this is tricky. I think that French Cecilia looked really impressive at Christmas. And the second I was trying to put a mark on him, I'd be guessing he's going to get a mark call tour between like 120 and 125. And he's beaten him 22 lengths. Now, the time was a fair bit slower than appreciated Master Max Shee on the same card. But like he could literally be anything. But he's kind of priced accordingly. And then you have Zana here, deserves to be favoured. But if I was looking for an anti-pole special this very minute, I would definitely be taking a chance on Tritonic. I think he'll go for the Adonis, I would imagine, unless Paul Nicholls, you know, the one Ruby said there, John Locke or something, comes out of left field. Tritonic will be the one to beat in that. If he wins that, he'll be the shortest price of the British. And from a pure flat ability point of view, you know, he was rated as high as not higher than the likes of Zana here and French Seal. And he's a really good attitude. I like the way he jumped. And just, yeah, 12-1 on runner money back. He'd be the one that interests me at this stage.
Ruby, if you were given the choice between French Seal and Zana here, which one would you ride?
Zana here. He's blown me away this year, so he has. I would be in love with him. But as I look at it now, I can't really... Frank, can you see Zana here being much shorter on the day than 11-4? If these all turn up, Quilixius, French Seal, Tritonic.
I've seen some people say that 5-2, 11-4 is value, but I just can't see. If Tritonic wins the Adonis, French Seal turns up, Quilixius, Duffelcoat, you know, Adagio, Nassalem, I just can't see how he gets any shorter. I really can't.
Yeah, well, look, that's Frank's line of business, not mine. So I'm going to take his advice. Therefore, Zana here would be the horse that would ride Frank, but I'm going to leave him in the betting front. And I think you should back Quilixius, because he has to run in this. Zana here doesn't. And if Zana here comes out, Quilixius is going to be a hell of a lot shorter than 6-1.
Lovely stuff. There you have it. Righto, just before we finish, time for a few quick questions. John Brennan asks, Ruby, over 2.5 miles of Cheltenham on good soft ground, who would win, Big Bucks or Hurricane Fly?
Well, it would depend, because jumping is, there's two different tracks. Jumping is so important on the old course. You have three hurdles.
Would you say one would win on the new course and one the
I
other
would say
win
oh, I'd say Hurricane Fly would definitely beat Big Bucks on the old course. You have three hurdles in the last four furlongs, whereas on the new course, where you only have two hurdles in the last seven furlongs, it would definitely play more to Big Bucks stamina strengths.
That's the fantastic insight that we want to hear from Ruby Walsh. Emma Fahey asks, Frank, as you're talking about juveniles this week, give us one for the Fred Winter.
This is so hard. They would be one of...
Towards my Triumph Hurdle, Lars.
Yeah, he'd be on your radar, all right. Yeah, it's just a handicap. I'd want to see the entries a bit closer to really nail one. Yeah, I wouldn't put you off, Coulter. As I said, he's going to get a mark for about roughly 125, and he'll get another 3 or 4 off the English handicapper, and that should be enough to get him in. Dermot Wells has a decent enough record with the juveniles too, didn't he? Have unaccompanied, finished second in a Triumph, and he had another one finished second, Hissabat, was it? So, in recent years.
One of his two winners in Cheltenham is the Triumph Hurdle. He won with Rare Holiday back in 1990, I think, 89 or 90.
Jesus.
Very good. Final question. Billy Green wants the lot, I think. He says, I think that Zanahir is a good thing for the Triumph, but he's 33-1 for the 2022 Champion Hurdle. Is that value, given that the current crop aren't top-notch? Frank?
He's 5-2, won't be much shorter. What price is going to be if he wins the Triumph? If he bowls up, he might be 12 to 1 for the Champion Hurdle then.
Add more in there now, Frank. So if you think Appreciated wins the Supreme, would he stay hurdling or go chasing?
I would think he'd go chasing, but
right, Bob Ballinger, what wins the Ballymore?
You've got Bob Ballinger, Brave Man's Game will definitely go chasing. Gallagher Mesnil would go chasing, will he?
Could he be? See, you got to factor in what else is coming on as well from the other novice hurdles.
Bear Gales is the other one. I really like him. Yeah, potentially. It's very difficult for juveniles. I don't know, 33-1. I'd prefer to back a shorter price after he wins the Triumph when you know you're dealing with personally myself, rather than, you know, have a bet on him to win the Triumph and reinvest some of the winnings. You might get 14 or 16-1. Or, you know, even if it's 12-1.
Double or treble your stake.
No, but you don't. But you
make
don't.
Like you say, but you could double your stake. If he wins the Triumph, you could double your stake at 14s to cover the price you've lost.
That's it. Like, yeah, I prefer to do that myself. I think it's hard enough to back winners without looking that far ahead, personally. But if he wants to have a go at it, I won't put him off.
Frank, before we go, you've got a couple of enhances to tell us about.
I do. So we're going to enhance Paisley Park from 3-1 to 4-1. From Wednesday morning until Thursday evening. Zanahir, we're going to enhance from 5-2 to 3-1. And we're going to enhance the double from, the double works out at roughly 13-1. And we're going to enhance that to 18-1 for those that are interested.
Very, very kind of you. Righto, that is all we've got time for on today's show. My thanks to Frank and Ruby, and of course, thanks to you for listening. If you want to back any of those prices and check out our Cheltenham non-runner money back markets, just head to paddypower.com or download the Paddy Power app. We're back next week. We're back on Friday with Tip for the Weekend. We're moving our Cheltenham countdown shows. They will be published on Mondays between now and the Cheltenham Festival. So we're back on Monday with another episode of the Cheltenham Countdown series, looking ahead to the Champion Hurdle and the Cheltenham Gold Cup.
Do you not know next week is mid? Do you not know next week is midterm?
Are you on midterm as well?
I just heard it this morning.
That means you're off.
The kids told me next week is midterm. So you assume midterm is midterm for everyone.
I don't know. To be honest, every single day is just another day now at the moment. Like, it could be midterm. I don't know. Is it? It could have been midterm 2 weeks ago and it could have passed me by. I don't know.
But what age is it, Tom? 28? 29?
29, yeah.
What age? 29? A 29-year-old man that's not married, Ruby, he has no idea when midterm is.
that's a fair statement, Frank. Yeah. I would have expected him to know.
Right. We'll leave the two wise guys there to discuss matters further. But between now and our next show on Friday, I've been Tom Nugent, and that was From the Horse's Mouth.